As we continue through the book of Proverbs, turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 10 this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. As we continue through this book, it's important for us to remember this is a book of contrasts. From verse 7, you remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We must remember this contrast because we are all called upon daily to make small or large decisions that will bring glory to God. We need to remember this contrast because it gives definition to those who fear the Lord in contrast to the fool. We need to remember this contrast so that we are always searching and seeking after the knowledge that leads to wisdom that then enables us to glorify the Lord. So that we can grow in grace, so that we can edify other believers, enabling us to trust in the Lord and honor the Lord with all our soul, with all our might, and with all our mind. And to love our neighbor as ourself. So read with me Proverbs 3, 1 through 10. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with all the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Almighty God, this morning as we look at these words, we are reminded of how simple they are. In their simplicity, however, they are absolutely majestic. And so, Father, we thank you for the constant reminder of who you are, who we are, that is, yours, and what we're to do with all this. And then on top of that, the benefits, the blessings that we receive from you, all wrapped together in a nice little package. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come back to this conversation, which we will for the weeks ahead, this conversation between a father and his son, or for our purposes today, these hundreds of years, thousands of years later, our father speaking to us, his children. We are reminded by him that in order to walk rightly with the Lord, we must value his word. That's what verses 1 and 4 seems to be focused on. Then we're reminded if we're going to walk rightly with our God, we must humbly trust him. Verses 5 through 8. And lastly, if we're reminded if we're to walk humbly with our Lord, that we are to be able and willing to give back what he has given to us in verses 9 and 10. I say reminded with each of these points because this would not have been the first time they had heard these things. I mean, as many of you know, Solomon is writing later in life. So his children were older, and as we saw a few weeks ago, he only had three children that the Bible talks about. One son, Rehoboam, who didn't turn out real well, and two daughters. And yet we have, in his older age, coming before him with the word of God, with God's wisdom, to speak to him. clearly. And so they would have heard all of this before. They would have heard these truths that lead to wisdom, which leads to glorifying God. Just like us, how many times have we heard these same truths said in different ways, whether from the scriptures ourselves? Because of our fallen nature, we are constantly in need of being reminded of the basics. Reminded. Because of the Spirit within us, I can say reminded, because we know this stuff. We've read about it in Scripture. We've heard it from the pulpit. We've heard it from Bible studies. We've heard it on podcasts. We've heard all of this. God reminds us that we are His children over and over and over again. He reminds us because we forget. We're in constant need to be reminded. For like children, we're easily distracted by that new thing or the next thing or that shiny thing. We all like shiny things. I can't even hardly talk to somebody if there's a window behind me not being distracted by the squirrels or the birds or the whatever, the cats especially that come across my yard. I'm always... That always distracts me. Sorry, Jenny. But we are. We're so easily distracted. His teaching is for simple-minded folks who think ourselves as sophisticated, intelligent, and yet the scriptures make it abundantly clear. We forget. Oh, we purposely forget over and over again. So he begins by reminding us that we must value his word, verses 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. My son. My son. My daughter. This is an expression, as we've said many times, of his love. You are my son. God reminds us all the time that we are his children, because we forget that too. We think of ourselves like everyone else around us. But God doesn't call everybody my child, my son, my daughter. Now, my son may not communicate that loving parent that is trying to be defined and described before as if your parents haven't always been loving. But remember, comparing God to what is fallen and imperfect is always a fool's game. He says, my son, and so we are. And as his son, we receive his covenant blessings and his covenant promises of a loving father. Now, just like last time, he's encouraging us to consider to not forget his teachings. He says, last time, receive my words, treasure up my commandments, incline your heart to understanding, call out for insight, seek it like silver, search for it as hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Then you will find the knowledge of God. Today he begins, as I said, my son, do not forget my teaching. In other words, don't determine to set it aside. Don't choose to follow after the world's teaching. But let your heart keep my commandments. Do everything you possibly can with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul to keep my commandments, to keep God's word. Now, he understands us, doesn't he? Because we pursue anything that we truly want to. We pursue what we place value upon. In fact, in many of our homes, we have particular places to display some of the things that we value. We always make time for what we value. We never forget, misplace, or deny what we value. He understands that about his son and his children. So he says we must value his commandments above all else. And when we do seek to live the way he prescribes here, listen to the promise. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. I don't know about you, but I love it when I'm reading a passage of Scripture and another passage pops into my head. Because Scripture interprets Scripture. Scripture supports Scripture. We have this from Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. The promise of valuing God's word, his wisdom, brings with it contentment, assurance, confidence, comfort, and hope. Peace. The things of the world bring with it stress, confusion, depression. Always wondering if you did something wrong. Reprisal, rejection. How many negative words can we come up with? That defines what the world has for us. And he, with an interesting statement, commands us again, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. In other words, do not deny these things. Do not deny that God loves you. Do not deny that he's not faithful towards you. Do not misplace these. Do not let these truths slip through your fingers. For these are the things that bind all life together. As he says here, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Again, another passage that comes to mind to support this whole concept. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And the words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Why? Because we forget. Because we forget. So they're placed in front of us so that we can't forget his teaching or let other things take its place. You can be distracted by the moment, but the moment you look over at your door and all this scripture's on there, well, of course, none of us put that on there, but the point is the Word of God is always with us. That's why the psalmist tells us to put it into our heart, to memorize it, to keep it real all the time. Why? Don't let other things take the place of something true and real, like the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. So that you will experience the favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And that takes me to 1 Timothy 3, but we won't go there for lack of time because there's so many scriptures that go along with that. So when we keep God's word, when we live in such a way that it reveals that we value it, we experience the faithfulness of God that's new every morning. We experience his grace, one grace upon another. One has not left us before another one is upon us. We experience that. Wisdom reminds us to value God's word. Next, we're reminded that in order to walk rightly with God, we must humbly trust him. Verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. As you all know, verses 5 and 6 are probably the most quoted and most loved of the Proverbs, and probably the most unutilized and most and least valued. Oh, we love to give it away to others to encourage them, but how many of us actually follow it, the commands ourselves? The commands: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Number two, do not lean on your own understanding. Number three, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Number four, be not wise in your own eyes. Number five, fear the Lord. Six, turn away from evil. How many of us do that? This particular Hebrew word for trust is a full and complex word. You've heard me use that terminology for other Hebrew words, but this one is particularly that way because the first picture we see with this word trust is us, the slaves, lying before the master, prostrated in worship and in waiting for the next good thing, because the slaves know that their master is good. They lay prostrate before him, knowing no harm will come to them, knowing that whatever the master says is right and good, and they will do. Bond slaves, remember. The next thing it speaks of is our Lord is a home, a refuge, a place that we will never be dislodged from. And then also it speaks of safety in his presence. All things that we can trust him with. All things that we can trust him about. His word never fails, which means that he never fails his own. Remember, he started this whole thing with my son. God never fails his children. And we reveal a wholehearted commitment when we do not lean on our own understanding. And what's wrong with our understanding? It's limited. It's tainted with sin. So it's undependable at best. But the picture here for the word lean on is an interesting picture as well. We're trying to get across the concept of don't lean on a broken stick or a stick too weak to carry your weight. It's as if his father is telling him, don't do that because you're going to fall down and hurt yourself again. You're going to cause more damage to your already hurt self. Trusting God with all our heart means to acknowledge him, to honor him in all that we think, do, and say. So how well are we living up to this passage? How much of a hypocrite are we when we give it to others, expecting it to be encouraging to them, when we don't value it enough to keep it ourselves? But that's just the trusting factor. What about the humble part? Well, that comes next. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, none of you ever got said to this, maybe Jim, but when I was growing up, along with a lot of other words, I would often hear, don't be a wise guy, which meant, don't stop acting the fool, because we don't have any wisdom in and of ourselves, for what we see with our own eyes is fallen and sinful and foolish. If we're not trusting in the Lord, if we're not fearing the Lord, if we're not turning away from evil, then the only place left is we're trusting in ourselves. And trusting in ourselves is acting the fool. Solomon's trying to make this clear to Rehoboam, who has proven himself to be a fool. And yet he's not giving up on his own son. That's not what a father does. Even though he may have been part of the problem in a practical humanistic way. When we do seek to humbly trust him again, look at the promised experience. He will make your paths straight. And it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You know, most people that are afraid to follow the Lord are afraid of him directing their path, even if they claim to be Christians. And the reason for that is because they're unable to trust him. A submissive, humble heart delights in God's direction, in God's path that leads to eternal life, leads to assurance, to confidence, to peace, to happiness, all those things that we're looking for every place else that can't and won't be found anywhere else except in God. We spend a lot of money on what we value, seeking to achieve that goal of happiness and health. And yet it's been promised and given to each of us who are his children in Christ Jesus already. Solomon couldn't guarantee any of his wisdom would work on his children. Well, that's why he's giving them God's wisdom. Christ went to the cross and rose again so as to secure these promises for us. Do you want to be happy and healthy? Here's the formula. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all things. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. The question is this. Do we value God's word enough to humbly trust him and do what he tells us to do? And if I was to put that question out expecting an answer, I know what the answer would be. Yes. So don't answer that question too quickly. Because the answer is none of us value that. The way it needs to be valued. We're all seeking our own way. We're all doing our own thing. We're all saying, I got this. I can do this. Did you pray about that? Well, if things don't work out, I'll take care. I'll pray about that. Do we want to be refreshed in life? Do we want to be hopeful? This is not a health and wealth guarantee. False teaching guarantee. This is good old-fashioned biblical discipleship. For the Lord has us doing what he says, following his teaching, following his commandments that come through his word and through the counselors that he puts into our lives. Starting often with godly parents and godly grandparents. Again, my mind went immediately to Timothy. When Paul was talking to Timothy about the faith that was poured into him by his mother and by his grandmother, he then says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. What is the gift that he's talking about? The faith that they poured into him along with the faith that God has given him. To fan that in, that flame to God. For God gave us a spirit of not of fear, or the actual Greek word there, gave us a spirit not of cowardice, but a power of love and self-control. When we do these things, we experience the blessings that have already been given to us. There's nothing more to get. It's already there. If we just believe it and trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Because his wisdom enables us to trust him, that trust is demonstrated with humble obedience. Lastly, if he hasn't been personal enough to you, now he's going to get really personal. It's one thing to question our faith. It's another thing to talk about what we own, our possessions, and what should be done with them. So, but if we're going to honor God and walk in the way that He says, we need to be able to give up our wealth, all that God has given us, in verses 9 and 10. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. This is yet another practical act that reveals what we value most. If you actually trust the Lord, honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruit of all that you produce. Clearly, one way we can show our value that we trust and honor God is to demonstrate this confession in our giving, sacrificially from all that God has given us. It demonstrates gratitude. It demonstrates confidence. It demonstrates trust in the Lord that He will do exactly what He says He will do. Trust in the Lord from what He has given us. Remember, Jim, it's not ours, right? Not ours. This whole concept of giving up what God has given us is found throughout Scripture. The last place we see it in the Old Testament comes from Malachi. Will man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? God is very specific in your tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, and the whole nation is cursed. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, to see if I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer, so that it will not destroy the fruit of your soil, and your vines in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord God Almighty. We are to honor Him. Oh, by the way, this is not a suggestion. This as well is a command. We are to honor Him. This is a form of worship. Honor here is full of the word sacrifice. Just like the Israelites honored God by being obedient to give God the sacrifices that He directed. Firstborn speaks clearly of two words that were very important to the sacrificial system: first and best. Firstborn, best, without blemish. To truly honor God, we must give Him from what we have. We are never to give Him what's left over. But we honor Him by obeying Him with our first fruits. And the ensuing promise? Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. Well, that's not happened. I don't see it in my checkbook. I don't see it in my savings account. Well, Josh has one less debt, so he sees some of that. It's not all about money, possessions, is it? The wisdom our Father shares with us is foundational, formative, enabling us to trust and honor the Lord, which enables us then to further experience the blessings that He has for us. Just in this one passage, length of days, years of life, peace, favor, good success in the sight of God and man, a straight or right path. Want to know what God's will is for you, what direction to take? This is what He's talking about. The healing of our flesh, refreshment of our bones. Stress can make us extremely sick, especially when we know we're doing the wrong things. Barns filled with plenty, vats bursting with wine from our own vineyards. We have lots of wine in this church, and I'm not talking about Regina. We have lots of children. That's the first thing that it refers to. The second thing is we have lots of joy. We have lots of connection. We have lots to give thanks to God for. in our own vineyards. Wisdom enables us to trust and honor the Lord, to honor that gift that He gives us. Those of us who are His children, my son, who fear the Lord, will also glorify the Lord. Pray with me. Father, we rejoice this day in your word that continues to remind us of the simple truths that we have a tendency to forget or take advantage of or just choose to walk away from. Thank you, Father, for your word that continues to remind us, for you love us that much to never give up on us. Whether it's in discipline or whether it's in celebration, you're constantly teaching, growing, and maturing us. In Jesus' name, amen.